This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Shut up and sit down.
Hello and welcome back to Fourth Down Focus. I am Dan Lundy, host of the podcast and founder of Fourth Down University. Before we meet our guest, I'd like to remind our partners at BetOnline are the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, events, with first-to-market odds and lines. Basketball is back. BetOnline is your number one source for the latest odds, teams, matchup info, player news and games trends, and your continued source for all sports wagering information. BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet on your favorite sports and events, whether that's NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, and make sure to use promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. Episode 82 of the podcast welcomes Steve Roush, former Arizona State combo specialist and the founder of Roush Kicking, which is an Arizona-based specialist camp that has produced a number of elite specialists in recent years. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on, Steve. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Dan. Good to be on with you. Finally caught up, and certainly no fault of yours. I appreciate you tracking me down, and I've been admiring your work for a while. So this is gonna be fun. I'm excited.
The purpose of this show is to build bridges, you know, and the kicking industry is a lot of traffic, a lot of, you know, intersections. And it's just nice to connect with people, especially like across the country. You know, I'm in Florida, you're Arizona. So it's wonderful to build that bridge because we're doing it for our kids. I'd like to think, you know, we're adults, they're the kids. And when I have a kid that expresses interest that he wants to play college football regardless of the region, that, you know, I sift that kid over to a category to where I might reach out to you and say, do you have any Division II punter opportunities? And it really, that's how things get done, in my opinion. I don't think things get done by high school coaches like we talked about pre-recording much anymore. I think very seldom does your star and ranking become the catalyst in your recruiting process, unless you're number one or two, right? So I'm just thankful to have you on, and I want to let everyone know that this is the first time I've ever talked to you, so this is awesome. These are my favorite episodes because I really get to know you like my guests get to know you for the first time. So I'm going to start with kind of what we just talked about. Many high school careers are about to come to an end, and the focus is now going to shift to recruiting heavily. Parents, as you experience, are wanting to really help in the process, and kids are going to do whatever it takes at this point. And I'm feeling the stress of this 23 class and how to find these guys at home, especially with the transfer portal opening up soon. And kids in college that have the ability to transfer now every year, it makes it very difficult to get into the market as a high school senior, if you will. So as you know, a majority of these guys, they've got to wait until after February, after National Signing Day, typically when the dust settles, to maybe get a chance for some monies, but more often than not, it's a P-dub or a walk-on opportunity. So I'd like you to share with the audience, you know, how do you handle this stressful situation, this stressful time?
You know, I'll share a word that I'm quite certain a lot of people aren't going to want to hear, but you know, at this time you've got to have patience. And because the reality with specialists, you know, we're kind of last on that list. And that hasn't changed over the years from when we were talking about before, when I played, when you played. You know, you go through your priorities of your positions and then you've got your specialist. But the networking part of it, which you touched on with the relationships, Dan, is key. You and I constantly message with each other. If I have somebody even going to vacation to Florida, I tell them to carve out some time for a couple hours because you got to meet with Coach Lundy. I mean, it'll, and that's how much I appreciate what you do.
Thank you.
So the networking, the relationship part of it is extremely important. And, you know, I've had several college coaches tell me that, Steve, I would rather talk to the one coaching them versus the one ranking them. Yeah. Because as coaches, you know, obviously we know all their tendencies. We can tell them everything about this kid. A kid can, you know, go to a camp and get a 4-star, 5-star, whatever, you know, I mean, you may have a good day at a camp. You may have a bad day. That doesn't necessarily define who that kid is as a specialist. You know, as you know, from talking to coaches, they want to know more about the kid than just how far they can kick a ball, or, you know, what's their hang time on their kickoffs or punts or snap time on longs. You know, they want to understand what kind of kid that they're going to bring to their culture, you know, to make sure that that they're a good fit. And I tell my parents and kids all the time, hey, this is a two-way street here. You're interviewing them as much as they're interviewing you. And I think too often, you know, we get to a point to where we feel desperate to where if we get any interest, even let's just start with interest, not even an offer, to where you get excited because, you know, even if a coach responds to you or follows you back on Twitter, you know, we have all these conversations and I get it. That's kind of where we're at now. However, relationships are extremely important. And if I've got somebody in your part of the country and I'm going to reach out to you and converse the same way as what you referenced. If I've, you know, got somebody that's, you know, if I know I've got a quality D1 punter, and we're just, you know, having a challenge, find, you know, and who knows, maybe it's just that he's a 23, you know, maybe somebody's looking for a 24, whatever the case may be. If I have enough resources through relationships all across the country, and no matter what region it is, and that's where Adam, you know, you and I are close with Adam. I was introduced to Adam, probably one of the first people, and you were right after when I got started in this just over 3 years ago. And to be able to work with him through as long as he's been doing it with his contacts, his resources. And I'm building the same thing out here in the West Coast. And it just seems like it's growing by the day, to where continuously having conversations with these college coaches. And, you know, you get to a point, Dan, and you know this because you've been doing it for a long time, and you do it at a very high level. But when you work with guys that produce at a high level and they get results, then that conversation spreads very fast amongst these coaches. There's some credibility that's built with that, so that they know when they're talking to me or you or Adam, hey, you know, this guy's seen a few place kickers. You know, he knows what I'm looking for. And you kind of get, you gain, a good enough understanding of one another to where, you know, you're very transparent. I couldn't be more honest with my kids, with their parents, you know, in terms of where I see them as a good fit, in terms of whether it's conference or, you know, but at the same time, I think that we don't listen enough to what the kids' interests are, versus, you know, where we think they would be a good fit. And I think that's just, you know, that's just one of the qualities that, you know, I'm sharing a lot now, but, you know, I listen a lot to these guys and I observe a lot. And, so yeah, it's, you know, patience, but at the same time, you want to be persistent. You want to stay consistent in everything that you're doing, because you hit on it when the transfer portal opens and all of a sudden the season's done and they're kind of going through their special teams roster. You want to be that next guy in line. And I think that's just, you know, you've got to have that persistence. And I'm a dad of a daughter that played Division I softball. So I'm a dad, a parent that went through all of this first. And now I'm going through it as a coach. So I can absolutely 100% relate to what all the parents are feeling and what the kids are going through.
That's great perspective. You have several sides to it. I like that your background is you played. I think that's important. I don't think it's everything, but I think it's very important that you did, because it's added value. It's you really put a foot on a ball and you really failed at doing what it is you're teaching. I think most people who teach who never kicked only read about success and like what it takes to put the foot here and there and elsewhere. But what I wanted to really say was recruiting is, it's a marathon, right? In my opinion. And that we're in the first couple of miles of the 26.1 miles right now. And I think the kids, like you mentioned, that are consistent, that are persistent, that are transparent, that are resourceful, right? That have Steve Roush, that have Dan Lundy, that have Adam Tanowski. These are all components to the success of doing what's the end in mind, what's getting the offer or the preferred walk-on, or even a walk-on for that matter. Because if you're smart enough and you did your business in the classroom, you're probably going to get taken care of somehow, some way to make that experience happen.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of kids, you know, around the 13th mile come, like, I don't know, National Signing Day, for example, that's going to come and go. That's not the end of the race,
right?
That's, I don't know. That's when people have to start like separating themselves, the ones who are going to win it. And I think a lot of kids shut it down, especially after that National Signing Day. And that makes it much easier on the coaches who have to evaluate. It actually probably cuts their list in half.
Sure.
Even the ones that are highly gifted, because the ego comes into play, right?
Yeah.
I'm a 5-star. Well, we're going to find out how much your 5-star is worth very, very soon. And I hope you're okay with it not being worth as much as you thought it was. And that's all I have to say about it is, like, I send my kids to Jamie Cole and people like that only if they meet the standard.
Sure.
And back to transparency, when a parent asks me, should I go to Chris Saylor's, blah, 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 or should I go? No, you won't perform well. You're not ready yet. In fact, you're probably a year away, but guess what? You're 26. So who cares?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's crazy is the overzealous, you know, freshmen right now that want to get a star next to their name.
Yeah.
They're not even looking at you quite yet.
No,
you know,
no. And I got to tell you, we're so like-minded that's why I think we hit it off from the beginning. And, you know, I agree with Jamie. Jamie's a good friend and we talk often, and I appreciate how he runs his business, and whether my model fits that or not, which it doesn't, and that's fine. But I do trust him. And I think that's important, just to kind of give, you know, some of the listeners just a little peace of mind. Some of the athletes is, you know, a couple of days ago, I posted that we have four freshmen from the 2022 class in Arizona that are currently on active rosters and playing in Division I football. Four. Which I guess is pretty impressive for one state, for one area, from what I've been told anyways. And I couldn't be more proud of these guys, of course. But the reason why I bring that up, Dan, is not one of these kids had an offer before February. Not one of them. So I share that. And here are four true freshmen that are playing Division I football, true freshmen, and playing and starting University of Washington, Arkansas State, Akron, Utah Tech. I mean, and so it's, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with their ability, their skill set. Part of it is, you mentioned early timing, is part of it as well. But again, as long as you don't try to separate the emotion as much as you can, but I know it's tough. It is. Because you just feel like that clock's ticking and it's just running out on you. But, you know, I think you've certainly looked and evaluated and coached enough specialists, that, again, talking about that transparency, you're going to be very upfront and honest. Hey, no, you can play at this level. And so I wanted to share that, because every one of those specialists that I mentioned that are now playing as true freshmen, they have the same anxiety, the same stress. It's just natural. And trust me, so do the parents. So it's just, you know, stay the course. Again, be consistent, stay persistent, and it works out for the best.
I love this. Wow. I mean, this is a little more than I was expecting, you know, but you're giving me so much. And I really am going to stress, especially to my year-round group, the parents that are most frequently asking me questions. And this is really valuable stuff. And it kind of validates what it is I say, but it also supplements it. There are some things that I'm probably going to like to revisit when I listen to this again. So I met you, as mentioned, like we've never met in person, but I think it was on Twitter initially. Yeah. And we shared obviously similar passions in kicking and fourth down and football and life too. I mean, I just like your outlook and your perspective on things, not just football. It's you can tell you're sending a positive message. You're sending that there's a glass half full. We all deal with the empty half of the glass, but I'm going to focus on this half. And that's stuff that I struggle with, you know, I not as much anymore. I have a lot more to be grateful for when I started my family, but as a person, I was always my harshest critic to a detriment. Looking back, I was like, I beat myself up like too much, yeah. You know, I didn't need a coach to beat me up, but, anyway, I'm not going off on a tangent. I like that you stress, the what. Like what is being communicated? What is being coached? How, you know, what is being instructed and not necessarily how like the tone. And I think kids can't get past the tone at times, but I think when I read that about you too, I saw that was in your website. Like that's something you put out there that you want to be known, that we focus on what's being said, not necessarily how. I think that's really important because my transition to college at Miami was tough in that aspect. It wasn't, I couldn't kick. But I'm a human, and when I didn't meet the standard of whatever it was on kickoff, direction left, it didn't go out of the, you know, outside the bottom of the numbers. And I got, like, accosted by my coach, you know, Chuck Pagano. You probably know Chuck Strong, but he used to be the DB coach at Miami, and he was our kickoff coach. And he ate me alive, man. And, like, I didn't take the criticism. I just listened to the tone, and it messed with me. And no one ever told me otherwise, but – I want to ask you if you could elaborate on really why you make this a big part of your program.
Yeah, because, you know, we know now after going through that and, you know, some kids in high school, you know, you have a lot of different personality types, different coaching styles. And it is really important to, again, if you can kind of separate that emotion and focus on the content and what's actually being shared with you. There's some good takeaways from that always. And, you know, when I've always thought when a coach goes silent, then you know what, they're kind of checked out and they've in some ways not given up on you, but you know, it's not a negative. If a coach is getting on you, the reason why is because they expect more out of you. And so take that as a compliment and embrace it, but remove the tone, remove, you know, however the delivery may sound, but just focus on what is being shared with you. And I share that with my guys because I don't coach long snapping. I understand all the basics and fundamentals. It's primarily kicking and punting, but I did partner with somebody that, in my opinion, and a lot of people's opinion, is the best long snapping coach in the country. And his name's Ben Bernard, and he owns AZ Elite Long Snapping here in Arizona. Well, he's been producing and coaching D1 NFL long snappers for over 20 years. Well, Ben is his hard nose, his offensive line, you know, coach toughness, type personality, has a heart of gold. But you just have to get past that exterior. So if you shut down and kind of crawl into a corner when he, you know, comes off a little strong and he's pretty intimidating, he's, you know, big guy, and you'll lose the message. And I think that's important for these kids to understand. If they're on you, it's because they care. It's just everybody has a different delivery. And I try to make sure that, because what I'm trying to do is prepare these kids for the next level. I don't care if it's a freshman team when you're in high school, graduating to JV, then going up to varsity. It's you know, that there's going to be a higher expectation at every level that you go. And in some cases, that's going to be met with a little stronger force. So just, you know, take it as a compliment.
It's a skill, you know, it's definitely a muscle to develop, because some people innately are not built for harsh criticism, especially in a public setting when there's people around you that you care about. This is not an easy experience. And oftentimes we get ignored in high school level. So, and there's no emphasis placed on it. So they just let them fail. Right. So a lot of these kids don't get yelled at on a football field until college sometimes, you know, like, and I'm not saying yelled at is, but it, you've been coached tough.
Yeah.
And sometimes tough coaching, it's tough to deal with, you know, and I love that about what you're doing, because it is indefinitely going to happen unless they go flawless. You know, if you mess up at the next level, you are going to hear about it a few times.
That's right. And they're going to test you as the day is long. And
amen. Remind you of it.
Yeah. They want to make sure you got that thick skin, and not only specialists, they want to make sure that you can perform under pressure and how you're going to respond to it. So.
Yeah. It's adversity to practice with. Yeah. Right. So
that's right.
Another thing I liked was, you quoted, the only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing. And who was that by? It was Socrates, one of the leading thinkers in the history of the planet. And I've always really admired people that were humble. I think humility is one of the biggest strengths, you know. And it always seems to be the people that are on top, like the highest academic people, the people that go and lecture on things on TED Talks, that always are the first to admit that they still don't know anything, right? And I think that's amazing. But you know, the ironic part of this is the people that are just entering, you know, something like a field of knowledge, want to claim that they've almost got it figured out, right? I've almost got 100% of this stuff figured out. So I remind myself of this often, is to be humble, to be open-minded. And you are, and I'd like you to share like your process. And I'd like you to share your expectations of like coaches who work with you you work alongside.
Yeah. And I think just kind of what you described, first of all, yeah, it does start with humility. And, you know, I was very fortunate to, you know, I was raised by parents that taught me that. Dad was blue collar and raised in a very modest home. And you know, you worked hard for what you get. So I'm very, very thankful for that. And those are the characteristics and values and that was instilled at me at a very young age. And what I've found typically, and this is part, you know, business, of course, in sports as well, is that normally people like that deep down are the most insecure. And it's kind of like the loudest person in the room, you know, so I've always tried to really listen first, observe, ask questions, be a sponge. What I'm going to expect of our instructors, anybody that's working with our kids, with Roush Kicking, is one, you better have a passion to help others first and foremost. I mean, that with me is just like breathing. I mean, you better feel so good about helping somebody else and watching them achieve something, develop. And I'm not talking about a scholarship and a call, but you know, you can start. Maybe it's somebody adding 5 yards to the ball, whatever the case may be. If you don't get a feeling inside of you that is just a fulfillment, that is just of gratitude, and just, you know, then you probably are in the wrong industry or maybe position, or I just think that's very important. And everybody expresses that differently. You don't have to be the most charismatic person to do that. Everybody's personality types are different. So that's where it starts, is that you better have a passion to truly serve and help others. And to me, that's so much of coaching. You better be a good student. You absolutely better have a willingness to learn. If you're all knowing, it's probably going to be a short relationship. Yes. Because I'm going to be expecting to learn. Dan, and I got to tell you, I've learned so much from you and your knowledge and your commitment and your discipline and your expertise, and what you do for the entire specialist community nationwide is incredible. And I really appreciate that. I really do. Because when it was just over 3 years ago, 2019, before COVID, when I got started in this, it was because a best friend of mine that I've known for over 25 years, he had a son, and he said, "Steve, I was a receiver. You were a kicker. I don't know a thing about it, but I think he may be able to kick a ball." And so that's kind of how this all started. And I worked with him, and he ended up being, in 2021, the only kid in Arizona to get a scholarship to Colorado State as a punter. And that was by way of Adam Tanolski. And Adam's the one that had that relationship. And that's another thing. If we cannot recognize, give praise to, because this is a village, we know it. I mean, to think that anyone in this business and what we do can accomplish anything by themselves, you're about as naive as they get. Because you've got to have a support system and a team that you trust, but you also want to have people that are like-minded and share the same values. And that's why that group is probably, you know, a little small, and I've been pretty selective in that as well, and I'm sure you have. But that's a big part of it, is that you've got to be a student, you've got to be willing to learn, you better have a passion to help others. And it kind of goes to the coaching part of it. You know, I have, you know, I share coach, encourage, develop. The coaching part is, hey, we're going to expect as much, if not more, out of ourselves when it comes to film study and staying on top of, you know, different drills and things that we can constantly get better as leaders, as coaches, to help our kids improve and get better as well. So
I love it. I really appreciate your words, you know, because like you mentioned, I keep my circle small, but the people that I consider in my circle, I really value them. And I am a student, you know. I think I would get the job with you, you know, if I work for Roush Kicking, I think, because I don't make anything public product until I've failed at it 1,000-fold. You know, I really like to think that failure is a huge component of success. We talk about that often, and I think you should honestly be comfortable being there for a while too, being in the valleys, because you can't find the peaks until you go through valleys. From what I've experienced, you know, and my wife was telling me that earlier. She actually told me that, and you know, a different part of our lives, she's like, you know, just be mindful that, you know, that this is for a reason, right? And I know that's cliche, but we have to embrace both sides of things, because we're going to be given both sides. We're not an exception, as we mentioned earlier. We're all going to go through good and bad times, and it's just how you respond, you know. And I think when people like to look back on their life and say, I handled the bad times well, and I think if they do that, I think everyone handles good times really well, right? It really is.
And that's where I think it's interesting you bring that up, Dan, because I think, you know, it's, my wife can come out and watch a session, somebody can hit a good ball, and she can say, hey, good ball. I mean, who couldn't do that? I mean, it's, you know, and she's been around sports her whole life. But my point is, where we gain and earn our value as a coach is, you know, when you miss hit a ball. Can you identify where that gap is, what mechanics, or, you know, whatever it may be? And I think that's something that, yes, if you've done it, maybe naturally you have a little bit, you know, better eye for it. However, as much time and commitment as you put into your craft, as I do, we study that. And back to when I first got started, and thank God when I jumped on Twitter and all of a sudden I'm in this space and trying to figure everything out, I don't know, I came across one of your podcasts, one of your videos, and instantly I thought, okay, this is a guy that's very pragmatic. I can tell he's done it. I love his terminology that he uses, because it resonates and just, you know, connects in a very natural way. And I just, you had me hooked from the very beginning, and I kept watching your stuff just to, you know, so as I'm coming kind of back into this game, I'm thinking, okay, there's probably terminology's changed a little bit, and approach, and, you know, drills and stuff like that. But I mean, I'll be honest with you, Dan, just being, having access to that and the information you shared, I felt like took me from 0 to 100 quick. And so keep doing what you're doing, man. I know you will, but I just, it's important for me to share that while I'm on with you, because it had and still does a significant impact on who I am as a coach. And you know, I lean on you a lot, and I reach out and mess, you know, different things. And I can't wait for us to connect in person. You know, and we had talked about, you know, doing camps and different things like that. And I've got that one coming up January 8th. And, you know, it's one of those deals. I was like, all right, I can have Coach Lundy and Adam come out. But it's like, okay, if you get the answers to the test, do you really learn anything? Yeah. So I kind of need to, you know, kind of stumble through this, you know what I mean? And just kind of figure out what's going to work. And I've always kind of approached things that way. I'm like, well, you know, Coach Lundy, Adam, then come out here and do this with their eyes closed. Now I need to kind of, you know, figure out, you know, how I want this camp to flow in the process. And, you know, I've got an outline together and everything of, you know, how I want the camp to operate. But, you know, it's my point is, I can't wait for us to have an opportunity to be on a field together as well and share with these kids.
It'll come, you know, and I'm always here as a resource, because you're a resource for me, and I'm grateful for it. And it led me into my next question anyway. You are having a camp, as mentioned, and I would really like you to, as it gets a little closer, just tag me in a couple of things so I can share.
Perfect.
Excuse me. I apologize for that. So I really, what appealed to me most, I think, is there's very few people in our kicking, punting, snapping industry who go much further than an evaluative process, then, you know, let's get a kid in the field and let's let him do his process. And we're going to rank him or star him accordingly. And I like that you avoided that. I noticed that that's a component. For example, in January, I do see that there's a lot of competing that will go on, yeah. Right? Right. There's a lot of winners and losers at certain skill sets doing situational things that college coaches want to see, you know, who's the best at what and in a football related setting, you know, hopefully a snap and hold. Yep. But I'd like you to share, like, you know, why did you go this direction, you know, and why do you think this is a better way to help them get exposure?
You know, part of it is a lot of the feedback that I was getting from these college coaches. As I mentioned earlier, you know, I prefer Steve to talk to the one coaching them versus the one ranking them. Now, I had made this decision in, you know, well in advance of that, but that just, I think that probably confirmed it, to be quite honest with you. However, what my true passion is to coach, develop, instruct. And that's, quite honestly, I mean, if kids are going to get results, it's going to come from that. It's not going to come from them showing up at a camp once every 3 months and having a good day. I want to be able to develop them the right way to where they're developing good habits. It's sustainable and that can transition from one level to the next. And so that's part of it. I love the recruiting piece in terms of the exposure to help these kids. You know, I think I pulled something up the other day. There's almost 900 colleges that offer football in the United States. That's FBS, FCS, Division II, III, NAIA, and JUCO. All right, that's a lot of schools. There's chances are there's a school just about, you know, for most of these kids. And, you know, pulling that up and realizing, okay, you just sometimes you have to have those honest conversations with some kids, as you know, you may not quite be Power Five, but hey, there's some great FCS schools that you'd be a great fit for. So the development, the coaching, that part of it, I absolutely love. Saturdays, we've been doing group sessions for, gosh, over the last year and a half. And Dan, I got to tell you, the last one that we did before the kids broke for fall camp for college and high school, I think we had 42 kids out there. And I mean, we're high level talent, and all of these kids advance and go on to the next level. And it was pretty impressive. And you know me, I'm out there running like a chicken with my head. I mean, I'm just, you know, trying to hit every station. Good thing is you've got kids that, you know, I had some guys that are going first. A lot of these guys that I mentioned that, you know, first year into college, you know, as freshmen were there. That was our last Saturday together before they headed off. But you know, just to be able to provide that environment, because I don't want any kid to go into a situation when they get in college and to feel intimidated because they see this senior over here launching rockets from 60 yards. No, you know what? They've already seen that 100 times over out on Saturday group session. But at the same time, you know, you're going to face that whether you're a freshman in high school and you've got a mature grown senior in high, you know, and so it's get comfortable with that to a point to where you really focus on your task, your job, and your development, and being the best version of you that you can possibly be. And I think that environment is very, very helpful for that. Not only that, we get long snappers, holders, we do the whole live ops. It translates into what really matters, you know, when you get out on game day and whether it's college, high school, whatever it may be, you're conditioned and you've just seen those reps so many times to where, again, it's not intimidating. It's not stressful. And, you know, I love what Tucker said. What was it, a week or two ago after his game? And he was talking about, hey, it's what happens in that 1.3 seconds, you know, and I think he referred himself as an assistant kicker at that point. You know, it's so true. And he said, you know what, I come out of here, I've got some nerves, you're human, you know, you do. But when you lock in on what your job is, and understand that once that ball's, you know, you've got that 1.3 seconds to do your job, he goes, and everything else just goes silent around you. But that doesn't happen unless you've continuously worked on that, put yourself in that situation and get good quality reps. So that, you know, that part of it on the Saturday group sessions, I think is really helpful in that sense. It's been fun to be able to watch these guys, but that's what I'm really passionate about, is I love being able to make relationships, develop, help these kids get to the next level, as well as do all the things, you know, that really matter to help them get there, which is the instructional development and the coaching. The stuff in between the charting and the competition and camps and stuff like that, that takes care of itself, you know. But really the bookends of it, the instructional development and coaching, and then the recruiting exposure to help them kind of get to that next level. That's fun. It's enjoyable, and it's certainly rewarding.
I've talked to you before recording about meeting a standard. You know, I get asked this often, and you know, I generally, if someone wants to go to a star or ranking thing, I'd like to think that Jamie is probably producing the highest volume of people at certain events, right? So I tell my parents this all the time. I'm like, well, if that's the biggest show, go win the biggest show. You know, like, so, but if you can't win the biggest show, why don't you wait till you meet that standard? So that generally is, I found that works, because when they wait and they have incentive, and then they bring that incentive to training, and like you mentioned, they're around 42 other kids that are like-minded, that have a common goal that we have to facilitate as good coaches, as you mentioned. This is what is important to me, is that you facilitate a learning environment. Like, it is not my job, and it's impossible for me to coach 42 kids in 2 hours effectively and really dig in deep on a personal problem. I think anyone who's honest would admit that. That's what private and small groups are for.
Absolutely.
But I think that you're creating a culture that I'd like to think I have here in Daytona area, Central Florida, to where I have seniors who are going to be impactful to the sophomores and freshmen. And I have juniors who are aspiring to be that model that the senior is for next year, but they're still listening, but they're, you know, now we're competing with that senior, because I'm about to replace that senior, because I'm going to be that senior, because that senior is going to go and play on Saturday. And I think you're doing this culture, and I think it's very, very, very important.
And I think is, in terms of us mentoring these kids as they develop and grow, you know, it's a responsibility then. They should pay it forward. And that's I wholeheartedly believe in that. And, you know, I've got I'll share just when we talk about kind of these kids growing, evolving and developing. Last night I get a text from one of my sophomore kids that kicked on JV, and he has a kid that I work with that's a junior that's kicking on varsity for one of the top teams here in Arizona. And the kid that was on JV, his season ended on Thursday, and they finished 9-0, and you know, they had a great season, and he did really good. He had a game winner, and just, you know, really at the end of the season, he said, "Coach, I need to get out. I want to do a private session." So this kid could not wait, and I met with him Sunday morning. He drove an hour to where I'm at. He lives across town, and he had just got done with the season on Thursday, and we had a Sunday morning session. And that's how passionate and how much he loves doing what he does. Well, you know what? You know what's really cool, Dan, is he goes in on Monday, the head coach, who I don't know how many conversations he's even had with him at this point, right? And he goes in, the coach pulls him aside and said, "Guess what? You're practicing with varsity. We're pulling you up. We're going to let you finish. Dress." It was just, I mean, his dad called me, followed up, and I thought, you know, that just gives me chills. I thought, you know, that for this kid, he loves what he's doing. Here, he couldn't, I mean, season was done. And if I had told him I'd have met with him that next morning, he would have been drove an hour and met with me. I mean, just, but you know, and then the older, the junior that was out there working with him, you know, sent me video, and he's out there working with him now. And they're just, you know, it's a support system that I love, and it's unconditional. And I think that's very, very important. Yes, we go out, we compete, but don't compare. And you'll probably touch on that. We had talked about that briefly, and I love that. But I think it's important, you know, where these kids support each other too.
We are on an island, you know that for sure. And that's never going to change. You know, there's not very many people that are going to be able to help you at any level if you choose to be a kicker, punter, snapper. Not many people took that road, you know. That's just facts, and it's evident in the levels of coaching here in the country. There's probably 7,000 LLC kicking companies. I'd like to think there was that many good coaches, but it's difficult, man. You know, like I try my hardest, because I do realize, like as you mentioned, when a kid has a game on a Friday night, my expectation is for him to come on Saturdays. Yeah, if it's a local kid, sure, but that's out of scope. We go at 9 a.m. You need sleep, and you didn't get it, so you won't be good anyway. Don't come. I'd like to be able to refer you to a guy in Miami or Atlanta, and it's tough for me, you know. Yeah. Like sometimes it's very tough for me in certain regions of the country to find anything going on that's a positive experience in terms of I will learn today. You know, I can give you I can give you 7,000 places to get evaluated. And I just, again, I admire you and people like you who are out there. And I try to acknowledge you guys, because I think that if we really do care about this thing evolving, which it has, it's been amazing. You know, you played in the '80s, I played in the late 90s, and the amount of kids that can do what you and I did, and we were outliers back then. It's crazy. I would say it's grown 20-fold.
Oh yeah. Without question. You know, there was something shared with me a long time ago, Dan, in business, and it stuck with me ever since. And I've always been in the private sector and been in sales and marketing and leadership and development type positions. But, you know, this owner of this company said, hey, and until they know that you care, they won't care what you know. And it's true. And I try to really take that time to listen and, you know, get to know these kids as much as we possibly can, and pour into them in ways that is, you know, just beyond technique and mechanics and different things like that. Talk to them about the mental part of the game, how you approach, how you prepare, which is just as important. Let's face it, there's a certain skill set that, you know, you kind of reach to where, okay, now we're really fine tuning, you know, and so now let's shift and focus on that mental part and approach, and how do you take care of your body, and just, you know, all the other things that I think is, you know, preparing them for, you know, whether they go on to college or not. But just, you know, taking care of your body, taking care of yourself, you know, making sure that you're, you know, exercising your mind as much as you are your body. And so, you know, that stuff's very important too. But I think they definitely need to know that you care. And it's got to be genuine. It's got to be sincere. And you know how much I'm sure you interact with parents all the time as I do. And, you know, there's nobody more passionate about their, you know, than a kid's parents. And hey, as we're parents, we get it, you know? And, so I fully understand that and appreciate that. And, but at the same time, I also value the support that they give them too. And that's, I know how difficult it is when you don't have that support. So, you know, that's very important too. So
life is a competition, regardless if you're in sales or football too, you know, and I want to touch on what you mentioned with the compete, don't compare thought. I'm guilty of it. I think we all are. We have to be mindful because our brains are crazy, right? They kind of lead sometimes in subconscious thinking and they take you to places you probably don't want to go sometimes. And one of mine is like, you know, grass greener thought, like, man, so-and-so's got a nicer facility than me, or so-and-so's got how many guys in the NFL, or whatever it is, you know, like, I'm just giving examples of like this kicking world stuff, but I have other problems, you know, issues with that comparing sometimes when it's really out of my control, really is how I see that statement. When you said compete, don't compare, could you tell us what the importance of that statement means to you?
Yeah, you first of all, just to recognize where and who I got it from. It's Butch Jones, the head coach at Arkansas State. I was listening to one of his interviews, and this was before or maybe during fall camp or going into fall camp, and you know how there's just certain things you'll hear that'll just stick, mm-hmm. And typically the most brilliant things are really the simplest, and that's, you know, you think about it, compete, don't compare. Wow. You know, and then I listened a little further, and really what he was referencing is that, you know, you go into fall camp and everybody's just so obsessed with these roster spots, you know, and you go in. So Dominic Zavada, for example, he goes in as a true freshman. That's where he plays Arkansas State. And he even references, he says, you know, he came in, he got the fewest amount of reps. There was two guys ahead of him. You know, they've been here. They're sophomores, juniors, this and that. And what he did was, instead of comparing himself to other athletes, kickers, circumstance, whatever the case may be, he just competed to be the very best that he could be when he got that opportunity. And he said, that's where I think people exhaust too much time, energy, emotion. And you hit on it, Dan, it's uncontrollables. Those are all uncontrollables. Focus on the things that you truly can control. And then things, and he just kind of kept referencing that, and then things kept progressing, and he didn't miss, and just kept, you know, kind of go, and ultimately ended up winning the job, and he's doing just a fantastic job this year as a true freshman. But, you know, that's where I heard it. That's who, you know, I just thought it was brilliant, and then it's really made me kind of step back and catch myself, you know, doing the same thing, kind of what you mentioned with, you know, we're constantly in that, especially, you know, when when you've got, you know, a lot of kids, and it's just, I think as coaches, but you always reference maybe kids that you've coached in the past, or, you know, hey, your leg swing reminds me of so-and-so, you know, it's just, we're always doing comparisons. And, but I think the way that he kind of described it, and I thought it was just healthy and a good way to kind of look at things and approach it and, but really focus on the controls.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of my favorites is, you know, control what you can, you know, and focus on that. The acknowledgement of, I think, what we cannot control. I think if we, and again, it's just almost as it's, these are simple things that just kind of, they stay long enough to where they like, they get in the back of your head and they live with you. But if you acknowledge it and say it out loud, it sounds silly sometimes, the things we worry about.
It does.
You know, it they really does, but there's power in that. Like I feel some people journal.
Yeah.
Some people just talk to themselves in the mirror. I think whatever you can do on your own private time where no one thinks you're crazy.
Whatever your method is, have at it. Yep, I agree.
It's very, it swallows people up. We had talked about that pre-recording, and that's a whole nother podcast. Maybe we'll go into next time is the importance of the mind and the realization that we're going to fail miserably in a public setting. You have, I have, I hit a ball out of bounds in Rutgers. My granddad came. I felt like this tiny, you know, like I missed a game. I missed a game winner at 15. I was on varsity as a sophomore. I missed a playoff game winner. That was a low feeling, you know? So I think that we have to realize that we all have those moments. It's not something we post on or pin to our tweet or Twitter profile, but I think everyone fails miserably. And I think it's, and you fail often if you do things enough, right? So if you're going to be a master of anything, you're going to fail more than everybody else. And saying that out loud makes it a lot better, I think.
Absolutely.
Right.
I couldn't agree more. 100%.
So I won't take any more time. I really, really appreciate your time. And I think this is one of my favorite shows. And I don't think I've ever said that. You can fact check that. I really do. I think this was something that a lot of people could get something out of. But I'd like to, in case something resonated, or I know someone could probably find you, but I always like to ask if there's a way or two that you could drop in the show right here that they could reach out to you, contact you if they have a question.
Yeah, absolutely. They, you know, they can DM me through Insta, through Roush Kicking, Twitter Roush Kicking. It's at Steve Roush 17. You know, I've got the website up at roushkicking.com. You know, I've got my contact information, phone number. I'm just accessible and available. If anybody has any questions, feel free to reach out. More than willing to help. Dan, this has been, hey, the pleasure's been mine, man. I feel like I've known you forever, and it's great to connect and just, you know, share experiences and thoughts again, just somebody that's as light-minded in this space we're in, it's good to know that you've got somebody in that space that you can trust and really value and has wisdom, you know, and cares about these kids. So feelings mutual.
Thanks, brother. Well, please give us a 5-star rating, a review, subscribe to the show, share it with a friend. If you have questions, suggestions for future topics, guests, or if you have feedback for the podcast, you can reach me, Dan Lundy, in several ways. Website is fourthdownu.com, Instagram and Twitter at fourthdownu. Thanks again for joining us at Fourth Down Focus, presented by Bet Online. We'll see you next week with an exciting new guest, and I hope this fall is treating each of you well. I'll be in a hurricane number 2 in about 3 days. But in all things, give thanks.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.